Leader. 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live with 50,000 watts of power. Well, we're almost live, but 50,000 watts of power up and down the coast, not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on good night, out to the desert. And we're heard on iymoney.com, all the podcasts, commercial-free on Monday. And time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a marathon runner, very accomplished. He's a philanthropist. He's a best-selling author, and he's a family office expert advising many high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you?
I am marvelous. Getting ready to run a half marathon.
Oh, my God.
Tomorrow morning. Big Sur.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's... And then, of course, you have your big turkey trot coming up in Oceanside, right?
Yeah, I got about 15,000 people coming over for Thanksgiving.
That's right. Thanksgiving Day. I think we're going to invite our guests. You'll give them a comp ticket for that, I think. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay, a nice low number and everything. But anyway, let's get right to it because we don't want to waste too much time. We have a very important guest. He's served in Iraq as a Marine. He served in the State Assembly. And he's running for mayor. If you haven't heard his name is Nathan Fletcher. Nathan, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. No, I definitely have a race going on, but no half marathons or marathons.
Oh, you've got two marathons.
Although I've done both in the past.
But, Nathan, you're in an ultra.
You know, it's interesting, though. It's a shorter election cycle. And, it's very busy and it's very chaotic and all those types of things. But I actually think the countries and places that have short election cycles are on to something. Because the public only tunes in for a very narrow amount of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, here in America, we tend to have these two-year-long campaigns, which just perpetuate nonstop fundraising and nonstop campaigning. And so I kind of like the short election cycle.
I think they do that in the UK, right, Richard?
A lot of countries do.
Yeah, lot of countries do. Yeah.
Excellent. And I think they are starting to pay attention now. I think we're in the last few days here. Election's coming up Tuesday night. So we'll have a big party either way, right, Nathan?
Oh, it'll be a victory party.
Yeah, good. So, anyway, Richard, I got a couple of questions. You have anything pressing?
No, just go ahead, Joe. Lead it off.
Well, one is the lifeguard service. We had Sergeant Ed Harris on the air here a few weeks ago, and he said that he's had 9 lifeguard towers and a fireboat. They were been fully funded since 2002. And he's been trying to get some action done by the council member there, your opponent, Kevin Faulkner, and apparently not much has been getting done. So you think you'll be able to help him out and cut through some red tape and get some motion on these things? What do you think?
Well, we will. And I've said I'm going to be a mayor that's going to stand up for San Diegans. I'm going to stand up for what's in their interest and for what they care about most. And that really does start with public safety. And we've seen public safety neglected for years. Councilman Faulkner's been on the council for 7 years representing beach communities, but we haven't seen the focus and attention on things like the lifeguard service. The lifeguards are now supporting me for a second time because I understand how important public safety is. I understand how important clean water and clean beaches and safe environments on our waterways are. And I've made a real commitment to making sure that they're funded and they're staffed. And our beaches are culturally a part of who we are. It's a part of our family experience. I take my boys to the beach. It's also a part of our economy. And if you have an environment along the beaches where it's not safe, where lifeguards aren't able to respond to things, I think it not only endangers the lives of our people, but it potentially endangers our economic base and people that come here. And it's got to be a higher priority. And I know we can do better than what we've been given in the beach communities the last 7 years.
Yeah, he even said there are a couple of rusted out large, these semi-truck containers for shipping. They're down on the beach. There's one at Tourmaline Park. He goes, that's what the lifeguards, it's rusted out. He said some have rats in them. They're using it for store medical equipment and change their clothes and eat lunch in there. And I think we can do better. So.
Well, and I know we can. And the lifeguards have actually been very innovative in terms of finding unique ways to do things. So they did a partnership with Toyota, where Toyota is going to provide the trucks to the city. And they've always gone out and they've looked for opportunities and they've looked for ways to increase funding, to increase revenue, to provide a new way to do it. And we need a mayor that's going to embrace that and push for that and just say public safety is a priority. And, it's not just our lifeguard service. We've talked a lot about how 37,000 911 calls have not been answered in time in the last 2 years. We've seen our roads go from the 8th worst to the 4th worst, and there's less economic opportunity for the middle class. And we need a mayor that's going to focus on and deliver on those basic things people expect: safe communities, smooth roads, economic opportunities for the middle class. And as mayor, that's who I'm going to stand up and fight for every single day.
Excellent.
And how about neighborhood investment? Besides just streets that don't have
problems. Well, that comes back to it. It is public safety is a neighborhood investment where we see the greatest disparity in response times are generally lower income communities, mm-hmm. communities right. of color, and that's not right. It's not right. You shouldn't wait longer. Your roads shouldn't be worse in one neighborhood than the other. But the neighborhood investment part is a broader effort that we have to get the job done, and that includes your streets and your sidewalks and your streetlights, but it also includes things like bike paths. It includes livable, walkable communities, it includes your park and rec, your libraries, all of the things that you should be expecting from a city that you just frankly haven't been getting.
Right. And then he also mentioned the gym of La Vie, one of our sponsors as well. They're all concerned about that horrible stench. I was down there yesterday at La Jolla Cove due to it. Apparently, it's the birds and the sea lions and the seals. And Ed told us that on any given day last summer, you'd have 600 of these sea lions out there who propagate all year long. They're not just the harbor seals. It's just a pupping season. But the sea lion population has exploded. And apparently, they are creating I call it a toxic waste issue more than an animal issue. And I'm just hoping we could find a solution to help out tourism and that jewel of our in our economy right there. What do you think?
Well, there has to be a solution, and it's going to require mayoral leadership, someone that can get the environmental community to the table, that mm-hmm. can get the public safety community to the table, that can get the leaders from La Jolla to the table, the business community that's affected by this. Mm-hmm. I'm the only candidate in this race that has support from environmental groups. League of Conservation Voters endorsed me. Mm. I have support from business groups, organizations like Biocom and the California Small Business Association endorsed me. I have support from community leaders from across the city. And I have the support of labor, whether it's our firefighters and our lifeguards, our police officers, our hotel workers. And what they'll all tell you is, look, we don't always agree with each other and we don't always agree with Nathan, but we do think he's the one person that has the leadership that can get us to the table and move our city forward. And this is a perfect example of needing mayoral leadership.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you could just get that fence open again and let people walk on the rocks like they used to. That might, without harassing the animals, but obviously some of them will probably go find another place to roost, a good deal of them, and that hopefully will help the situation. But it is, folks, if you haven't been up to La Jolla Cove, I used to love going up there, but man, you really better bring a clothespin for your nose because it's not the way it used to be. So hopefully,
especially in unseasonable hot weather.
Oh, yeah, we've had some warm weather.
But anyway, well, we'll get to how about Barrio Logan, Richard? Should we get into that a little bit?
Ask him.
Well, I know. Yeah. Kevin Faulkner and David Alvarez just heard on the radio this morning. They're diametrically opposed on what's happened there with regard to the city council plan and now this new petition that's being circulated. Apparently, with some duplicitous questioning of the petitioners to potential people to sign it. So, where do you stand in all of that?
Well, I think what we're seeing is what happens when councils and mayors can't work together and resolve issues. And I just think it's terribly unfortunate that folks have chosen to take this to a vote of the public because the council can't get their job done. And you are seeing folks that are out saying things to get people to sign petitions that are just not true and are just not accurate. And we're certainly not the only city in the universe that's ever had industry and residents coexist in close proximity to each other. We do seem to be one of the only cities that can't figure out how to work it out. Yeah. And I'm terribly disappointed that Kevin Faulkner has been unwilling to stand up to his supporters to get them back to the table and have them make a reasonable compromise. I mean, the owners of the shipyard are some of his largest financial donors and supporters. And if he said, look, there's a reasonable solution that doesn't involve going to the public to ask them to weigh in and do it, I believe they would do it. But again, it's an unwillingness to stand up for what's in the best interest of the community as a whole. And I think it's a terrible failure on his part.
Yeah. And how daunting was it the day when David Alvarez, I think as a student, pulled up with a bus examining neighborhoods that are being impacted negatively by toxic issues. And it was his house. So, you know, whoever's the next mayor, I mean, if you're the mayor, I hope that you'll be willing to, you know, talk with him and his issues and obvious. And you've had some endorsements from the Barrio area yourself,
sure.
Right?
So. No, we have. We had a lot of community leaders from Barrio Logan come out and a lot of leaders from the Latino community. Congressman Juan Vargas, Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez, mm-hmm. Senator Ben Hueso, Councilmember Olga Diaz, Councilmember Mary Salas, and so many others. Assembly Speaker the Assembly John Perez,
yeah,
and so many others have stepped forward. And it's folks that I've worked with for years that know me and trust me and know the type of mayor I'll be.
Yeah. That's great. Well, we have to take a break right now. We'll come right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life, live from La Vie, right after this. All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life, live from La Vie. And over to Richard, I think he had a question.
Yeah, Nathan, question about homelessness. You know, I got this charity event coming up where about half of my 500 volunteers are coming off the base at Camp Pendleton. And then I walk the streets down here in San Diego and I meet all these homeless people. And literally one out of every four is somebody who served our nation. What are you going to do about homelessness in this community? Because we're literally almost leading the nation now.
Well, we are. And there's been a failure to lead in terms of having specific goals, specific metrics, accountability to get folks off the street. And we put forward ideas and plans to look at the cities that have done this and done it successfully. And the ones that have done it successfully are the ones that literally measure person by person by person. Because not every homeless person is the same. You give a perfect example. I fought in Iraq. I fought in the global war on terror. I came back. I didn't believe that we had homeless veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan on the streets, but we do. And it's morally wrong. A country that has the moral authority to send young men and women to war has the moral obligation to care for them when they come home. And you can't tell me if we find the money to send them to war, we can't find the money to care for them when they come back. Now, the good thing is for a lot of those, there are programs. Sometimes we have to find them. We have to match them with the program. We have to get them into a Veterans Village of San Diego. We have to get them into a VA program, but we can help them. Then there's a lot of folks who are homeless on the street who are just barely homeless. I know going out and counting and surveying the homeless, you would see families and maybe children in a tent doing their homework. And they're just folks who need first or last month rent. I mean, they're literally that far away from being in an apartment and housing. Well, then we need to provide them the assistance and help to get them there. And then you have a group of homeless that are chronically homeless. A lot of them suffer from very serious substance abuse programs, from very serious mental health issues. And for those, we need to adopt a housing first model. Successful cities that have done this, that have had an impact, adopt that approach. Get those folks off the street, get them in a housing environment, and then help them try and address and deal with some of their problems. But we have to morally do it. When you look at streets that are littered with homeless, it reflects poorly on who we are as a city. It's also an economic issue. I can't go out and recruit technology companies or entrepreneurs or innovators to expand in East Village when you look out and you see what they would see. And so it's a problem the next mayor is going to have to lead and get it done.
Judge Coates, who's a former guest on the show, asked me to ask you about there's a homeless, I guess, storage center that's going to be closing. And actually, it's part of Father Joe's property. But he was wondering if you might consider using the old library, possibly at least part of it, maybe to help solve the homeless issue, even on an interim basis, perhaps. What do you think?
Well, we proposed using the old central library as an incubator and job training center. Mm-hmm. But maybe there's a way to do more with it. I'm less concerned with where they actually go. We've been debating temporary solutions, and it's interesting, you never actually temporarily solve a problem.
Right.
But we've been talking about temporary solutions for years and years, and I think we need some permanent solutions.
Hmm.
And we need a permanent place that can house folks and help them make that transition back into a better life.
Good.
Yeah, so Nathan, I subscribe to the San Diego Union, and when I go out to pick it up in the morning, sometimes I have to run down the hill because it's gotten so thin that the wind blows it all the way down the hill. But they've been printing some interesting stuff. How do you deal with the fact that some of the material that's been printed about you just is simply not true?
Well, it's frustrating, and it's a very difficult environment. You know, Doug Manchester bought the Union Tribune, and he said he was going to use it to advance his interest and his agenda. He was very upfront about that, and they've certainly done that in this case. I don't know how many editorials they've done that simply state things that aren't true. They're just not factual, or they're highly suspect and biased. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is that spill over into the news section, where you repeatedly see front page stories that also are not accurate and not true. And I think everyone in San Diego is aware and clear that the newspaper has a bias and has an agenda. It's frustrating as a candidate because I tremendously value the role of the press. And even when the press is criticizing me, they should be doing their job. And their job is to fairly and accurately report the facts, hold people accountable, and do those types of things. And there's a big gap right now. You know, unfortunately, an institution, the Union Tribune, that's been around for a long time in San Diego, that a lot of people relied on for reliable, truthful information, is just not something that can be trusted anymore. So we just have to go out every day and tell the truth. And we have to fight hard. We have to get our message out. And we have to hope that most folks realize it for what it is, which is a paper that has a political bias and agenda.
Yeah, sad but true.
It is.
So do you have any events coming up on Sunday or Monday right before the election, fundraisers?
We're out every day. So we're going to be out. You know, we've been doing this Real Problems, Real Solutions tour, where every day we're going out and highlighting a real problem the city faces and a real solution. And so we'll continue those up until Election Day. And then Sunday we'll be out campaigning, be out canvassing. I actually like going out walking door to door. You talk to real people, you hear what's on their mind, and you get out of this kind of insider echo chamber. And so we'll be doing that Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, all the way up until 11 p.m. And I think it's really important to remind folks, this is not a normally scheduled election. It is this coming Tuesday, November 19th. You can go to SD Vote to find out your polling location. And I would just encourage all San Diegans, regardless of who they're going to vote for, get out, make your voice heard, cast your ballot, because it is a really important decision for who's going to guide our city for the next few years.
Now, you were endorsed by the governor and lieutenant governor. How did that work? Did he call you? Did you call him?
I've known the governor for years. We work closely together. We work together to try and close a corporate tax loophole that benefited out-of-state companies to provide some real relief to California small businesses and families. We work together on a number of things, and we've always stayed in touch. And I think he's doing a very good job in Sacramento, and he's working hard. And I was honored to have his support, along with the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, and so many others, people that have worked with me, that know me. They know I'm a leader that's going to stand up for San Diegans. I'm going to bring people together and figure out how to get things done.
Well, you're probably the only guy in the race, probably in any recent mayor's race, that can get supported by both Malin Burnham and Irwin Jacobs. So
yeah.
That's saying a mouthful, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and those are both prior guests to the show as well.
That's
We've
right.
had everybody, I think, John.
There you go.
Everybody. Now, I know the Police Association, Firefighters Association is endorsing you as well, correct? Right.
Yeah, they are. So we've got a really broad base of support. We have the firefighters, the police officers, the lifeguards, as we mentioned earlier, along with environmental organizations. I mentioned the League of Conservation Voters really talked a lot about our plan for clean water and safe beaches, and business organizations. Biocom, which is really the leader on the innovative economy. And, you know, it's important to note that those are really good paying jobs. Those are jobs with good wages. You can buy a home, put your kids in college. You have health care. You can retire with dignity. Those are the types of jobs we want to create. Along with the Small Business Association, really representing small business owners, family-owned businesses out there. And I think it's a testament to what we need and want in the next mayor, which is someone who's going to stand up for San Diegans, stand up for neighborhoods, and have that ability to bring a broad coalition of folks together and get things done.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a tendency in this town to just basically create new jobs around tourism, which doesn't work because people can't afford to live here who are working in those jobs.
Well, and that's right. And my jobs plan focuses on innovation and manufacturing, because it really is important when we see the complete erosion of the middle class. That is the rungs of the economic ladder that allow people the ability to move upward. And when we lose that, we're going to lose what it means to be America. And so we have a real focus on manufacturing jobs. The president talked about it in a State of the Union address a year ago. Over 500,000 manufacturing jobs are coming back. We want those here. And then we're highlighting the opportunities at the port to take those products we manufacture and increase our exports. And both of those provide good working class jobs that provide good wages.
Now, you've been a professor at UCSD, professor of practice, and you've also made the commitment that once you're mayor, if you become mayor, it's very likely you probably will be, but that you're going to continue to teach that class. Is that
correct? I have loved teaching. I have loved the position. I was very fortunate. University of California was very kind and I went through the process for the professor position. It's a professor of practice where you bring your real-world experience into the classroom. And I've been teaching every quarter. I took this one off due to the campaign. But there's something about students. I had a big class, about 160 students. They have so much energy and drive. They're very idealistic. They believe that they can make a difference in the world. And I believe they can, too.
And they gave you pretty good ratings as a professor, didn't they, on the feedback?
They did. And that was, I think, a testament to an interactive class, an engaging class. It was very challenging. It was very hard. Mm-hmm. A lot of readings, a lot of very difficult assignments. And I was a tough grader. but I was fair, and I wanted him to learn, and I cared about the topics. And I've had the best time doing that and look forward to continuing it.
That's great. Well, Nathan, we have to close here. Congratulations also on your two Press Club Awards. We got three, by the way. We got three. But work harder. Maybe you'll catch up with us next year.
Maybe next year.
But anyway, good luck with everything. It's always a pleasure having you. We'll be right back with the next half of our show. Stay tuned. All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money in Your Life. And over to Richard to thank some of our sponsors. Well, I thank all of our sponsors.
Thank 100% of our sponsors, which include and are limited to the lovely La Valencia Hotel. We are live from La V almost. One of these days, our Vector is going to get reinstalled there.
We'll definitely be there next Saturday.
Okay, good. Major sponsor, UVS, who is also the lead sponsor, of course, of Art San Diego. We had a great event there last week, a nice little reception on Saturday. I think about 15,000 people attended. Great event. So thank you, Michael Quaranta and Drew Freitas with UBS, our favorite CPAs on the planet, Planet, Polito Epic CPAs, Don Epic and Paul Polito, Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, the best CFO company here in town. Best business bank, of course, is Regions Bank, none other than Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton. Helping real estate owners improve their cash flow is Mr. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives. Carl Sheeler, now with Berkeley Research Group. I got that right. He merged with them about a month ago, so I've got the name right, Berkeley Research Group. Mr. Carl Sheeler, helping businesses improve their value. And last but not least, and next week's guest, our latest sponsor, Brenda Geiger with Brenda Geiger Law Group, estate planning specialist. So thank you all, sponsors. And Joe, how can our wonderful listeners learn more about our amazing sponsors?
Well, if they get over to our website, which is very simply IY Money, short for It's Your Money, iymoney.com. Click on the sponsors tab. All their personal information is there, their contact information, their backgrounds, their websites, everything you need to know. And Richard's been working with all of them for many years with very successful outcomes, correct?
That's correct. We got some cool stuff up. I was just quoted in a national financial publication, and so that article just went up as well. Really interesting stuff up on the website about our guest and even more.
And also your book, your best-selling book about the whole Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs.
My best-selling book continues to sell.
Yes, it's called So What's Your Play? It's on the website there and on Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, time to introduce.
We have another guest.
We've got a terrific guest, and I'm so glad we have a woman as a guest, because we're on the verge of having the first woman in history be chairperson, I guess, of the Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. But our guest for this half of the show is... She's a president and CEO of American National Investments. She's as well as the Love Surf brand, which we'll get in more to a little bit later. But she's also the owner and proprietor of a very successful restaurant that she resurrected in Pacific Beach called the Patio on Lamont Street, or the Patio on Lamont. And she's on the verge of opening up her second one in Mission Hills. And we'll talk all about that with our special guest, Gina Champion. Kane, Gina, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
Anyway, where do we begin? I guess you went to University of Michigan. Were you born back east, or
I was born and raised in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Ann Arbor, and went to University of Michigan. Correct.
I did.
Maybe the basketball team will do well this year.
Oh no, be nice.
But then, how did you find your way to San Diego?
Well, I had to get out of the cold. And this minute I graduated, I couldn't get on a plane fast enough. A one-way ticket on Braniff Airlines, which I believe went out of business the week after.
Oh, they had nice seats, though, didn't they? Jeez. Nice big leather seats.
They did. It was wonderful. But it brought me to San Diego, so that was
good.
Did
you immediately graduate and move here, or had you come here for prior visits or something, or how did you find out about San Diego?
I had never been here, but I had was sent a video from one of the law schools and said, wow, I think I'm going to go to law school there. Just they had sailboats in the bay and bikinis on the beach, and I said, I think I need to live there.
Oh, okay. So you went to law school here. Which one did you attend?
I went to California Western School of Law, and then I went to the University of San Diego for an MBA.
That would be my alma mater as well.
Now, Richard graduated there in accounting. Now, you know of an award that Gina received, right? So let's hear about that.
I believe Arthur Hughes bestowed upon you a very prestigious award a number of years ago, maybe early 2000s, is my memory right?
That's right. How did you know that?
I'm really connected up there. Which means I write a lot of checks.
And Arthur Hughes was the president of University of San Diego.
What was that award again, Gina?
It was a Lifetime Achievement Award.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And his name was Arthur, like the book writer.
Arthur. Like King Arthur, but Arthur, like writing a book author.
Okay. Well, maybe.
Did you enjoy your time at USD?
I loved it.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Love being a Torero. I'm still a big supporter up there as well. I sit on the board of the Real Estate Institute, and we started a master's in science and real estate program there, and it's a wonderful group.
Are you amazed at how much that campus has grown? I mean, I look up at it now. I mean, it's unbelievable. The building, it seems like the building's sprouting up every 6 months. There's a new building, it seems, right?
Not bad for being relatively landlocked. So, it's really grown, and it's a lovely, lovely campus.
It really is. There's a lot of neat that.
Yeah, so I was reading everything you do. Do you have like 36-hour days? Is that your secret?
Well, I don't sleep much, that's for sure.
Okay.
Now, the dog thing. For people that are at the patio, people are allowed to bring dogs at the outdoor seating. What prompted you to institute that policy, and when did you become such a dog lover?
Well, I've always been a dog lover. I grew up in the Midwest, and we've always had dogs. And I'm a golden retriever fan. The dogs of choice for me, I always have goldens in my life. And I've always been frustrated over the fact that many places in San Diego County are not dog friendly. And it always surprises me because so many people own dogs in San Diego. And I was traveling once in Carmel by the Sea up in...
I'll be there tomorrow.
My favorite place on earth, Big Sur and Carmel.
I'm running the Big Sur Half Marathon, but I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
I run that 4 times now.
Nice.
It's a great marathon. It's actually a quick half marathon, but it's because you're right around the coast.
I think because you're so distracted by the beautiful scenery. Yeah. Well, but anyway, back to doggies, because I got 3. So.
Well, I do too. Well, I had 3, and I'm down to 2, unfortunately. But I always have loved dogs. And when I went up to Carmel, I noticed that all of the hospitality areas and in the restaurants allow dogs. And their people are happy up there. They're relaxed. They always have a smile on their face. And I know it's not just because of the lovely scenery. They have their best friend with them at all times. They always have their companion. And I thought, you know, San Diego needs to be better about being a dog-friendly place. And that's what started this whole Love Surf brand of hospitality, which the patio branded restaurant is going to be. It's a Love Surf branded restaurant. And that carries forth the dog, the pet-loving.
I think I even saw there's a restaurant in New York, I believe, that allows you go to a formal dining room and bring your dog. And I mean, they give them gourmet food running along with you. But that's I don't think we're ready for that here.
Carmel actually has a hotel that is dog friendly. I believe it used to be owned by a famous
Doris Day.
Doris Day, that's right.
Called the Cypress Inn.
That's Cypress Inn. We've stayed there before. But we were there and somebody brought their 2 cats. So as you might imagine, when they brought the 2 cats down for breakfast with all the dogs in attendance, it was really interesting.
I've been there for their happy hours where you'll see all types of dogs sitting next to their companion, their owner, sipping on a libation. It's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny, that's right.
But so after law school, we jumped ahead quite a bit here. What happened after law school here? What because you got involved with real estate, apparently. And
I did. It wasn't a very fun time to be a part of real estate. It wasn't doing very well. Mm-hmm. But that was a good thing for me because I learned how to manage distressed real estate and how to redevelop distressed real estate and how to try to breathe new life into old things. Mm. One of the large projects I had worked on with a big company that I worked for in the past was La Jolla Village Square Shopping Center. And we were able to take that old tired mall and flip it inside out and do one of the first power centers and value-oriented centers in San Diego County. And, of course, it was a huge success.
I always confused the two. Is that the one with the Whole Foods or is that the one with the Trader Joe's?
It's the one with the Trader Joe's.
Okay.
And that had been an old mall, an interior mall at one point.
Yeah.
May Center Mall. They used to say that if you ever wanted to be lonely at Christmas, you'd go there because that Santa was the most pathetic Santa because no one would ever go. It had a hard life. It had to compete when UTC opened.
Underweight and everything.
Yeah, he was very sad. He was a very sad Santa.
Joe, he was just a fit Santa. You know, he wasn't overweight. That's important, right?
Well, now you look at the AMC 12 La Jolla up there, folks. You got it. They've got the reclining seats and they're priced a little bit under the other luxury theaters. I don't know if you've seen any movies up there lately, but. It is really and they even have a cocktail lounge in the lobby. So
yeah, pretty smart. It was a great center, and that we've done really well. It did really well.
Yeah, good. Well, that's the way you do it. You know, it's like Horton Plaza when that first went in. It really was an acquired taste. I didn't like the way it looked, and it was all one color. And then somebody must have brought Disney in or whatever, because all of a sudden all these colors started erupting all over the place, and the pennants and banners. I go, well, now this is pretty cool place. Looks like a Dr. Seuss scene out of a Dr. Seuss book or whatever. So, don't you agree with that, Richard?
I think it's pretty.
Well,
I go down there a lot.
But anyway, we got to take a break right now. We'll come right back with Gina Champion Kane right after this, so hang on. All right, we're back with myself, Joe Vecchio, Richard Busio, CPA, my co-host, and our guest, Gina Champion Kane. You could hear this podcast and all our podcasts at iymoney.com Monday, and we take out all the commercials, so it goes a lot quicker. And back to you, Richard.
It does indeed. Hey, Gina, can you expand a little bit on what the Love Surf brand is and everything that's under that umbrella, so to speak?
Sure. Thank you for asking. The Love Surf brand came out of a vision that I had staying at the beach with my dogs and in vacation rentals. And I thought this vacation rental business needs to be run in a better way. It's been historically a mom and pop industry. And you'd usually rent places at the beach that used grandma's furniture from, you know, 1962 and just chipped plates and carpet that should never be still there and so on and so forth. And I thought there has to be better ways to do this. So I went out, embarked on this, buying these cottages, single family homes, no condos, because I wanted to be able to have little yard areas. And the whole notion was to make these dog and pet friendly. We've had people that bring cats as well. And I think somebody, lady brought a bird once. But it's typically dogs. People travel with their dogs quite frequently. And it's really becoming more of a trend. You know that, notice that by many of the hotels are also allowing people to bring their dogs. We don't discriminate against size or breed or anything. So you can bring your dog.
Ooh, I may have a tenant for you, my God. Okay.
Well, good. Yeah. You get a referral fee.
Good.
So we went through, we redecorated them, put hard surfaces throughout, made them quite lovely. And we provide a lot of amenities that many places don't. We have free Wi-Fi, which many places do, but we, when you walk in, you have fresh coffee beans and teas, and we have food waiting for you in the refrigerator, and wine, and we go all out. Everything is very high-end. We supply fluffy robes. We, you name it, we have beach cruisers and boogie boards, and it literally is turnkey. All you have to do is bring your swimsuit and your running clothes and have a great time. Wow. So and bring your pets, because we have dog beds and dog food. And
what's the website for that if people want to shop around and or refer? Is it,
thank you. It's www.love, and that's luv-surf.com.
Love-luv-surf.com. Okay, very good, very good. Well, that's a great new approach, because you're right. Some of these vacation rentals are, you know, not...
Well, and the whole approach really was to run it like a hotel. We offer concierge service. We truly run them as a hotel. And part of that is, as a hotel, I trademarked the logo. And I decided to, we were leaving ball caps and tank tops and sweatshirts and robes for our guests. And they take them back with them and said, geez, our daughter really loved that t-shirt. Can we buy it? So, of course, being the chronic entrepreneur that I am, I said, "Oh, this is a business. I'm going to now start a retail line with this logo," and it expanded into a little Heart Surf logo that I also have a trademark pending, and we are now have a store on Mission Boulevard, a little surf shop on Mission Boulevard in Mission
that.
Beach.
3816 Mission. What's the cross street there? Do we know?
San Jose Place and Salem Court.
There you go.
And we have parking, free parking, which is very rare in Mission Beach, so please come on down. It's a darling store. We have, again, pet accessories, women's. We call it après surf wear. So it's not for the hardcore surfer, but it's, you know, from when you get out of the water to flip-flops and sundresses and ball caps and yoga pants. And
very cool.
Really, really cute. So that, we wanted to offer a full approach to your stay when you stay at one of our facilities. Right now, we're just in Mission Beach. We hope to go up the coast. So we have Love San Diego Surf. We'd love to have Love Carmel Surf, Love Santa Barbara Surf, Love Malibu Surf, and take it from there. The Patio restaurant brand is a Love Surf branded restaurant, and we hope to have patio locations in every beach market where we have Love Surf rentals.
And then, of course, if your guests leave and forget to buy some t-shirts, they can go to luvlovesurfretail.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I just stumbled upon that myself, Richard.
That's good. And you've got plans for a second restaurant, too.
Yes. In fact, I am already, it's in the works. We've signed our lease. We are moving ahead.
Located where?
This is the one in Mission Hills, correct?
Mission Hills.
Tell us about that.
It's called the Patio on Goldfinch, and it's between Washington and Fort Stockton in beautiful Mission Hills.
Next to Lefty's up there, right?
Next to Lefty's. Yeah.
These are big undertakings. I read, I mean, you have to hire a contractor, designers, architect, I mean, all kinds of people, right, to put a team together to do one of these, right? I mean, that's what you did at the one on Pacific Beach. How many people were involved in just the redesign and reopening of that location?
Oh, wow. A lot of people were involved in that. It was a real collective effort.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even tell you. It's amazing how many people are involved in a project like that.
But you're open every day. What you don't close Monday, or you're
open 7 days a week. We open for lunch Monday through Friday at 11, and we never close. So we offer food all day long. In fact, our kitchen doesn't even close until 11 o'clock at night. Dinner starts at 5, but we do have a modified menu from 3 to 5, which is our happy hour menu.
Well, that's
and
cool.
So and could, then keep the kitchen open late, which is nice.
You can come in and have a late lunch. A lot of times you go to a place and, oh, we just have these happy hour menu. We're just a few things here. But that's great to know you're serving all day, all night.
All day, all night. And we also have brunch on Saturdays and Sundays, opened at 9 a.m. Great brunch.
Whoa. There we go. Great Bloody Marys, I take it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We'll have to check that out.
Yeah, we'll have to check that out for sure. So what's your vision for San Diego in business 5-10 years down the road? I mean, how do you see the landscape that we'll be sitting here in town?
Well, I really have high hopes for San Diego. I think that a lot of that is going to come from, obviously, our public leaders, but also there has to be community involvement, public-private partnerships. And I think that San Diego really has an opportunity to take control of its destiny. And if we can bring the politicians and the public agencies on board to work collectively, we can solve some of these issues that you were talking about with Nathan earlier,
mm-hmm.
Of homelessness and affordable housing without having to raise taxes and do all of that. I mean, there is an opportunity for us as community leaders and our political leaders.
Yeah, I like that idea with the lifeguards, sir, using the Toyota dealership or whomever. I mean, I don't mind seeing a little advertising on a beach vehicle if it's going to help pay for things, right?
I agree.
You know, stuff like that. What other things did you have in mind, though, as far as public-private, let's say homeless? How could we, you have a thought on that?
Oh, yeah. I think you have a lot of public land. You have a lot of public agencies in cities that have excess land that they, instead of selling it off, do some of these arrangements with affordable housing developers that can build affordable housing on some of these tracks. And instead of gouging and trying to get as much in terms of fees and taxes and pricing for this land, have these public agencies remain in these deals, because then that provides cash flow to them. They can sign 99-year long-term land leases.
Mm-hmm.
And that will enable affordable development to happen and keep housing costs down for those that need to have it.
You bring up a good point. You know, I've heard Nathan Fletcher in prior speaking engagements mention the new stadium issue, and he also talked about I always say we got to talk about the current stadium location and what's going to happen there. And he says maybe we could get some moderate pricing homes, moderately priced homes, or low to middle income housing down there, along with some other things. But so that's a thought. They got a lot of land down there.
Well, you know, you're talking to recovered a real estate developer, so I have no fear of developing and putting density in areas that I think warrant it. I think the current stadium site is a no-brainer to redo a new
football stadium. Right there, right?
And I think it should be a mixed-use development. I think it should be creative and do a lot more than just provide a stadium.
Call me a dreamer. I'd love to see farmers markets in some of these open-air markets like they have in Europe, like Munich and Vienna. I was there a few years ago, and they're really interesting. And we could be open all year round. They're not even, they have winters there. We don't.
You're exactly right.
But anyway, we've got to wrap it up here, though, right, Richard?
Gina, thanks so much.
Yeah, we really appreciate you having you with us, and we'll get down to the patio, both of them.
I've been there. It's excellent.
Yeah, it's a great place. Yeah, so
absolutely.
Anyway, thank you, Justin Hart, our sound engineer, for making us sound terrific. Thank you to Craig Blanke, our senior account executive. Thank you to Nathan Fletcher for being our guest at the Open tonight. And thank you to Dave Sniff, our programming genius. You have a great week, everybody.
And get out and vote.
That's right. Get out and vote. We'll see you next week right here on It's Your Money and Your Life. Good night.